Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas. So let's get started.
KL7R, KL7R. In the solder smoke, this is M0HBR. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R. I'm just making sure there's a recording going on there. I had it all set up. So what you think? I put up an RSS feed. Did you get a chance to look at it there, or?
I went to the, I copied and pasted the website, and it took me to a Yahoo page, but it says something like unavailable or exceeded its data limit or something like that. But I wasn't able, I don't think, I just did it real quick, I didn't play with it too much, but I couldn't get it going right away. It might be the an operator problem at this end. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was afraid of on Yahoo. It has a pretty low data limit. Let me turn that off. I've got another site. I'm not sure it works. Why don't you, I'll type in another site here. Why don't you give that a try here? It just take me a minute to remember what I called it. Hang on a second.
Okay, I was standing by. Yeah, it's interesting. Seems like there it is. Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah. So, we're close to becoming iPod famous. Hey, I want to send you one too, because there's a really good kind of tech talk show in Australia, Australian Tech Talk, and it's on a one local radio station or several local radio stations somewhere in Australia, but they're making it an iPod feed too, and it's really interesting because they kind of begin the show with a kind of a tech talk segment, and then they or a technical news segment, mostly IP related news. And then they go into the topic of the day, whatever it is. And one of the programs was about setting up iPod feeds and everything else like that. So very relevant to what we're talking about. Plus, we might have, Mike, a subject matter for a new segment, because I have actually been generating some solder smoke over at the workbench, playing with ceramic resonators. I just decided I needed to build something, you know. And I've been playing around with the circuit simulator. I downloaded LT Spice, new version of Spice, but you know it's not nearly as much fun. I mean, you spend almost as much time playing with the simulator as you would building the circuit for real, and it's not nearly as satisfying. And it's got all the kind of software frustrations. So I put Spice aside for a while, went over to the workbench and just built the ceramic resonators, and really interesting results. I'll turn it back over to you, and why don't you give me a second, because I don't want to mess everything up. Give me a second, see if I can get to the site and listen. So why don't you come back here in a few minutes, KL7R and Jerry's go.
I don't know what podcast receiver you're using there, over.
Probably, you see, you're already way, way ahead of me. I was just trying to look at it through Explorer, which obviously is not going to do it. Well, I'll have to download iPod and all that and get going. Yeah, I haven't got that far yet. I've been listening to these things just with Windows Media or Real Audio, stuff like that. But it sounds like you make great progress. And wow, we have a jingle and everything. I think you'll get a kick out of the Tech Talk Radio. I don't know if you've listened. They just have, you could listen to some of the stuff just streaming audio without having to go through all the iPod feeds and all that. But it's an interesting show. They've got a really really good jingle at the beginning. They've got a good kind of format and panel, interesting topics. And I see they're starting to make some money because they've got some advertisers, at least on the web page. I don't know. I don't remember. I think we did have some advertisements on the actual show, but it's a different world. I mean, they're but this the Tech Talk Australia is interesting. They they'll talk about one of their friends has gone off to help build new houses for the tsunami victims in Sri Lanka, and they're realizing that he's probably going to be listening to the show, but doing so via his iPod. So they're talking to him and saying, "Yeah, let's give a shout to so and so. He's over there in Sri Lanka. Probably going to be listening to us on the iPod." You kind of get the image of this guy out there in Sri Lanka with his, you know, iPod on, hammering nails into new houses in Sri Lanka, listening to his buddies back in Australia on the show. So, yeah. All right, well, give me a second. I'm going to take a listen. I'm dying to hear our first program, KL7RM0HBR.
Yeah, Roger. So that's basically what I did all day. I spent quite a bit of time with Audacity, and I did find out how to do multiple tracks. I spent some time looking around for pod-safe music that was basically not copyrighted, and I found a couple of good songs. I ripped the header off of one song. It's I ripped four bars off of the intro to one song that had a bunch of voice in it, and I just grabbed the intro four bars, and then I looped those four bars a few times, and then I faded them in, and then and at the end I faded in and then faded out, and then I overdubbed our voice, and then and so basically that's it. You can tell me how cheesy it sounds. I showed my son, and his eyes roll up in his head. He said that's terminally geeky there. So M0HBR, I'll give you some time to download that and have a listen.
Okay, terminally geeky sounds just like what we're looking for. Yeah, I'll be back in a few. I'm going to listen to it now. Oh, man, we're in business. We're in business. Hey, I can see retirement looming on the horizon. We're going to get rich, Mike. This is great. That's really, really good stuff. and good work on the jingle. Hey, that's fantastic. That sounded great. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that if we went ahead and, even with this first one, put a little note on QRPL or on Rec Radio Amateur Homebrew and just told people how to get it or how to listen to it, I think you'd probably get some hate mail from the people who only want communications to take place by a CW or Spark. But I think you'd probably get some people who start listening to it. I'm sitting in an attic room in central London, and I'm speaking into a cheap little microphone that came with a computer several generations old, and it's just gone directly into the mic in jack on my new eMachines PC, going over a high-speed connection to the internet via Echolink, and then it goes over to you, Mike, there in Juno, and you're talking over the handy talkie that has an RF link to your Echolink system, and here we are. And I guess the timing is probably the good factor why we get together and speak so often, because it's early morning for me, and I guess it's, let's see, what time is Echolink going to tell me? And it's almost 9 o'clock in the evening for you, so good timing. Well, great. Yeah, I want to tell you about my other project is the ceramic resonator VFO. I just went to Sprat Magazine, looked up some circuits, and I built my first VFO with the ceramic resonator for the 80 meter band around 3.58 megahertz, and it didn't really oscillate all that well, and I didn't get that much of a frequency spread. I wasn't able to move the crystal of the oscillator. I moved the ceramic resonator as far in frequency as I had hoped. And plus, it was pretty pointless because at that frequency range, you can easily build a stable VFO. But this morning I took the thing, and the other ceramic resonator I bought was for around 14.3 megahertz, where of course it's much more difficult to build a stable VFO. And in the past I've used variable crystal oscillators, but have not been able to move them that much, so you get very limited frequency coverage. But wow, I popped in a ceramic resonator this morning at 14.3 megs. The thing took right off. It's stable. It's real stable. And without even putting a coil in there, just with a variable cap, I was able to move the thing at 35 kilohertz, which is about double what you'd optically expect at 14 megs with a crystal. So very, very promising results with the little ceramic resonator that I bought for $1 from the GQRP Club. Compare that with the price of a custom-made crystal. I think this is a big improvement. KL7RM0HBR.
Wow, that sounds perfect. You got 14300, and you can pull it down. You can move at 35 kc, so you can go from clear down to 14275 probably, which is probably the most active section of the 20-meter phone band. I wonder if you can get resonators that are even lower in frequency. I was looking at Spratt, and I noticed that they had a VXO, and they had this wide-range VXO, and I kind of found the same thing in my experimenting. In the wide-range VXO, they put multiple RF chokes, RF coils, in series to keep the distributed capacitance down of the coils, and they had like three 100 picofarad, 100 microhenry coils, and then two 40 microhenry or something like that coils. So they had 380 microhenry in series and selectable. So that probably might be a hint there. I don't know. How did you pull it? Did you just put some inductance in series or with the ground, or what did you do there to pull it? The VXO was. It's kind of tricky. Sometimes they have parallel capacitance, sometimes they have series capacitance, sometimes they have series inductance. It seems like it's a bit of an art there to get that right. And finding the time, my time is 9:30 in the evening. Yours is 6:30 in the evening. My GMT clock says 6:30 in the morning. My GMT clock says 5:30 in the morning for GMT. I don't know. Maybe I don't have GMT right. Maybe you're on English daylight savings time or something like that, and that's why it's 6:30 in the morning. Let's see. My Link radio is an old ICOM, and my handy talkie is a Yaesu VX5, and I just talk from the VX5 into a homemade PSK interface that just routed right into my jack and run PTT off one of serial ports and go audio in, audio out through a couple of transformers and use a transistor to PTT off the serial port set up the audio levels and I'm in business. And keep the audio RF link transmitter, it's a 50 watt transmitter. I had to set it down to 5 watts, otherwise it gets really hot on real long-winded conversations. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R and 0HBR. And I was just over at the workbench playing with the VX, the variable ceramic oscillator, I guess. Excuse me. Yeah, we're on British summertime, BST, not GMT now. It does cause confusion. We're not far from Greenwich. I've been there and stood on the prime meridian, 1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other. And looked at the telescopes that they used to watch the stars as they went over the prime meridian. Very interesting place. And just a little bit down the road, but yeah, ironically, we're 1 hour off because of the summertime. Really starting to notice the change in time now. When I get up to the shack at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's dark again. And in late June, early July, and then it would be, the light would be streaming in at, seemed like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Kind of unpleasant, not used to it, but we're getting back to normal, and we'll be in it, in the depth of the darkness here around December 12th, and then it gets real, real dark. I think we're 52 or 54 degrees north. We're almost as far north as Moscow, I think. Not quite, but certainly as far north as most of Canada, further north than most of the Canadian population. So, not the Great White North because it rarely snows, but in the north anyway. Yeah, the ceramic resonator. I don't think they're available on a wide variety of frequencies, but I just noticed that the GQRP Club was selling them at around 14.3. And I just, with my new frequency counter that I picked up at the Hamfest here, without even fiddling with it, the very first try, using only a variable cap in series with the resonator, I could go from 14.309 down to 14.274. Which is, like you say, it's a very useful portion of the band, and a lot more frequency coverage than I was getting with variable crystal oscillators. I have a little portable DSB rig, double sideband rig, that I'm thinking about using this in. But I was just sort of exploring the concept and the utility of this thing, and very, very promising. Again, you see a lot of circuits using ceramic resonators for 80 meters, but I don't see the point really, because I mean you could very easily build a full blown VFO for that at that frequency range, and there's no reason to have a ceramic resonator in it. I guess unless you're building for portable operation where you're likely to get a lot more variations in temperature and things like that. I guess there it would have an application, but I have a little double sideband rig for 40 meters here with a VFO that I built, and even at 40 meters at 7 megahertz, it's pretty easy to get the VFO stable without a whole lot of struggle. Now, once you get up above 10 megs, it's a different story. And I think that's where this ceramic resonator is going to be really, really useful. Very simple little circuit using one. I'm using a 2N 2222 transistor, and just real simple biasing arrangement, little capacitor feedback network, the ceramic resonator, and the variable cap. And I noticed that I've seen it. I went and did a Google search on ceramic resonator VFOs. And for some reason, people are not using coils in series. They're just using the variable cap, and I don't know why that is. I might play with it a little bit to see if I get even more coverage, the frequency range. But 35 kc, as you know, is pretty darn good. I think they're usually tell you're supposed to go one part per million, which would indicate I guess a 14 kilohertz would be sort of optimal coverage with a crystal on 20 meters, but here I'm getting obviously significantly more than double that. So, yeah, the solder smoke, the gods of the solder smoke were with us this morning, Mike. KL7RM 0HBR.
Excellent. I thought you were going to work on that yesterday, so glad that's working. Yeah, you told me about that 17 meter rig you built. Is that the same one that was in QST? You might have been for the group which issue of QST that thing was in, and if you had hacked that to be a 20 meter rig, or if you built another rig, I forget. And what is the output power of that rig? Is that you were talking about maybe building an FET, a MOSFET, 5-watt amp. Seems like you could do pretty well with the MOSFET amp and your double sideband there. Let's see, how linear was that resonator? I found with VXOs, it was non-linear, the amount of tuning the crystal would pull. I wonder, did you get two of the ceramic resonators? I wonder if you could do the parallel resonator trick and like you when you rubber crystals. So if you put two of them in parallel, then they rubber a whole lot farther than just one of them. I don't know if that's because of the additional additional capacitance there of the two. I don't know why, but it, they seem to rubber a lot farther when there's two of them. I wonder if that applies to the resonators. And if you had two, I had an SW, smallwonderlabs.com, SW20 Plus, that worked really well when the case was off or when I was inside. But when I was outside, when I was when I came inside with the case on, when I started transmitting on the thing, it had drift, it had drift a lot, and it had wound up selling that. Really, really great rig, but I did something to it. I pulled off the coil, the tuning coil, and adjusted it many times trying to get it into the 20 meter band. And I started out, and it was down in 13 megacycles somewhere. And it took me a long time to find out where it was initially, and then it took a long time to get it in where I wanted it. And then when I did, I think I did it so much that it I damaged some component because it wanted to drift on transit. So it's getting. I talked to Dave Benson at Small Wonder Labs, and he said, "Well, you know, what power are you getting out of it?" I said, "Well, I'm getting 5 watts out of it." He said, "Well, it's a 2.5 watt rig. You should knock the power down." That has a little bit of effect on the drift. I think that's all the notes I had. I basically responded to what you were saying there. M0HBR.
All right. Real good. Well, you caused me to go over and pull out my stack of QSTs. The 17-meter, my first DSB rig was the 17-meter double sideband rig that I built in the Azores when I was CU2JL. And that is in the October 2003 issue of QSP. The article's called Soldering My Way to 17. And it's also on my my website, along with some other projects, at www.qsl.net/N2CQR, the stateside call. Yeah, but, well, the 17-meter DSB rig, it put out about 5 watts, and conditions were good, and I was in the Azores, and I regularly got into long, really nice rag chews with New Zealand and Australian stations with that little rig. I really had a great time with that thing, and I still have it here. It's not on the air now. I had to take some parts out of it, but I'm going to put it back on the air one of these days. Maybe at a different point in the solar cycle. Right now, 17 meters is in not very good shape. But that's one of the DSB rigs. And then I also built a little portable 20-meter DSB transceiver for 20 meters. But that has a really low output. It only puts out about 1 watt double sideband. And I don't have enough room in there really to build a more powerful linear, and I've been experimenting with MOSFET external linears, but I've been having a tough time getting the thing stable. But the transceiver itself is stable, but only with 1 watt out. And right now I'm using two crystals, not on the same frequency, on different frequencies, to give me, I guess, about 20 or 25 KC's of coverage on 20 meters, but obviously this one ceramic resonator would give you 35 KC's, so the one ceramic resonator beats out the two crystals at, as I said, significantly lower costs. And I haven't even, you know, I thought about trying the two ceramic resonators in parallel. I guess that's my next experiment. I bought four of them, so I can play with it a little bit. Yeah, and I think on all these things, the tuning is going to be nonlinear in the sense that at one point, you know, I think because you're at one point in the variable capacitors range, you're getting a bigger, whole lot, a lot more change in capacitance as you turn the thing. But, it's a part of the, if you made like a dial, you'd see that part of the band is kind of scrunched up on the top. So that never has really been a problem with the VXOs. You just got to keep it in mind as you tune through the band. But yeah, so ceramic resonators. I'm really just happy to get back over the workbench. Like I said, spice is fun, but it's not nearly as satisfying as actually generating some solder smoke and building something. So yeah, please get over to the workbench. KL7RM 0HBR.
Great on all that. I'm trying to think of what I wanted to reply about. I had half a dozen notes and they disappeared on me. Well, cool. I didn't realize that was a different rig. I thought that was the 20 meter rig. I had a comment about the power. I built this K2. Was enough soldering for a while for me. Finally getting the desire to do a little more solder melting. And K2 took a couple of months of steady work. They say it only takes 40 hours, but I don't know who they are. It took me a lot longer than that, and I had a bunch of extra modules. But got the sideband module for it and put an ICOM condenser mic on it. And there's something about the AGC action or the audio compression, automatic audio compression, that I can work anybody I can hear at wide open 15 watts. So you might take a look at the final for a K2. It's basically a two transistor push pull arrangement there in 10 or 15 watts. I'm able to talk to anybody for as long as I want, even in rough conditions on voice, which is I've been pretty impressed with that. I was talking last night on 80 meters from Juno, and the band was dead. The band was dead when I first fired it up. You're just barely checking in the net and checking on CW. And then one of the guys in town here, about 2 miles away, came back, and we had a little rag chew. And so I turned down to 100 milliwatts voice, and we had a long rag chew on the K2 there. And then I went out back to the net and on 3.933, 9 o'clock in the evening, West Coast time, or Alaska time, 10 o'clock, 3933, that's the Motley Group, and which is coincidentally streamed on Shoutcast. If you go to shoutcast.com, you can look for the Motley Group or the KL7Y, I think is Seth's, he streams the Motley Group there on, interested in that, but anyway, I turned up on the group, and the band was doing really good after the net, and called one of my friends and talked to him for a minute or two and realized I was still at 100 milliwatts. He was in Kenai, and I'm down here, which is, I don't know, it must be 600 miles on 80 meters. So when it's open, it's workable, but even when it's not, the 15 watts wide open of the case in even rough conditions. I'm running out of ideas, Bill, unless you got something else. I think I'll call it short for today. And I wanted to send you the Audacity files. I have the Audacity template that has the intro and the fade in and fade out. I was able to do the multi-track thing. And I can send you the Audacity template and then you could use it to save to MP3s if you wanted to record your own copies of this. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, okay. Migrated. Well, yeah, amplifiers, you know. They always look easier. I always thought that the amplifier part of the rig would be the easiest part. You know, it's easier than the, you know, getting the oscillator to oscillate and the mixer to mix and the audio output from the mixer to be on the right, frequency and clean and everything else. But you know, it's not true. I mean, especially the solid state stuff, the amplifier is really what gets you, and keeping it clean and not feeding back. You know, the old saying: you build an amplifier, you end up with an oscillator. It's really true. Rocky, the guy who shows up in a lot of the QRP literature, he's very honest. He says sometimes you just don't know why it doesn't work, and the only solution is to offer sacrifices to Papa Legba, sacrifice some chickens or something. I hope to get the thing going. I haven't had to kill any chickens, but anyway. I guess the thing to do now is to start letting the ham radio world know that they can listen to us on their iPods. But I wonder if you're at the point where you could do that because you were concerned about the web space and things like that. Maybe we'll have to think about that a little bit longer. Yeah, but send me the clips and stuff, and I'll play with it a little bit here. But I think you're far advanced. You're far more advanced than I am here on the audio and RSS feed thing than I am. My big thing was the discovery of Audacity and the ability to filter out the coughs and dead air space there. That's not too great. Hey, but I'm trying to. I want to rig this oscillator up here so you could just listen to it a little bit as I tune through it. I think that'd be kind of fun. I want to put a different power supply on because the one I have is kind of got some AC on it. It makes the thing sound pretty bad. So here, I'll turn it over to you. Talk to me a little bit about the getting solder smoke into the iPod world. And while you're doing that, I'll see if I can get this oscillator hooked up to a power supply that doesn't make it sound bad. KL7RM 0HBR.
Well, yeah. I don't know how much time I can devote to doing solder smokes like every day. It took a little, but maybe it'll be faster the next time. But I don't think there's a way to really automate it. It'd probably be a 10 or 15 minute deal probably more than that to edit and save the stream and upload it and all that. It may take an hour or so. It'd be nice if we could share that that load. If you could upload sometimes and I could upload sometimes, and I'll send you the Audacity template. I call it a template. It's just basically all the tracks that are everything but the actual Echolink conversation. You can take a look at that. There's apparently sites out there where you can post MP3 RSS streams and other sites where you put the MP3 streams, and there's other sites where you can put the RSS file. So I haven't figured that out yet. So you led me on a goose chase. You said you were podcasting and all this. You weren't podcasting. You were just downloading MP3 files. I know how to do that. I actually was podcasting, and it's a little more to it to get the RSS and to get it posted and all this. Seems to be a tight connection between podcasting and blogging, and I don't see the connection there. I think you can just put them on any web server. That's what I did. I just put them on any web server, and it worked. Haven't done any blogging. Didn't have much interest there. But anyway, I'll try to find a. There is one site that has no cost, and you can put up your podcast audio and leave it there. And that's. I think they've got enough bandwidth. So, all right. I wonder if you've got. Maybe you hitched a battery up there to your oscillator. I have no idea what you're going to show me. Is it a receiver, or is it you have a receiver listening to the oscillator there? M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, we'll share the load here on the uploading and all that kind of stuff. No problem. It'll be fun. Yeah, it'll get faster as we learn. Yeah, no, but no, you're definitely more advanced than I am on this thing. I haven't been, I just sort of stumbled into it, and Audacity was as far as I got. I haven't been podcasting, but I have, the only thing I've done is I've got some audio links on my website to real audio files that have clips from my conversations with the astronauts on the space station and on Mir on the space shuttle. So I guess that might have been an early. Not podcasting, but audio on the website. I realize it's not very advanced. Yeah, what I want to let you listen to is just the oscillator that we've been talking about, And I don't have a battery hooked up. It's still on a power supply, and it's relatively unfiltered, so I think that accounts for it. You'll hear a little bit of AC hum in the background. But this might be a good way to wrap up today's edition of Solder Smoke. We'll listen to the ceramic resonator that we've been discussing. Ceramic resonator of a variable oscillator. And you're going to be listening to it on an old Drake 2B receiver tuned to around 14280. I'm just going to lay the microphone down next to the speaker and then go over and kind of, what we call wiggle the crystal or wiggle the ceramic resonator. Pull it a little bit here. Stand by. Up over to the bench. That'd be impressive, don't you say? I remember when I first started homebrewing, just the fact that I could get anything to oscillate and generate any kind of form of RF was very satisfying. The joy of oscillation. KL7R. Guess it's time to wrap up this edition. This is M0HBR in London.
The joy of oscillation. I'll have to file that one away. That was great, Bill. That thing really moves a lot. So I'll have to experiment with that a little bit. I don't have any. I've got one for a pick, I think, but that's nowhere near a ham band. Well, cool. Well, one of these days you'll have to play your mirror recording on the EchoLink, and we can save it. Well, have a good morning. It must be getting close to breakfast time there. M0HBR, have a good one, and thanks for mentoring me this past few months. KL7R Juno.
Okay, Mike. Have a good rest. Yeah, it's 7 o'clock in the morning here now. Breakfast in about an hour. Kids are still sleeping. So I'll do some more. I'll generate some more solder smoke here. Good talking to you. Talk again real soon. And I'll study up on RSS feeds and things like that in the interim. Great talking to you. 73 from London. KL7R Juno M0HBR London Clear.